Welcome to KHMK Talk. We are totally blind musicians from Australia and New Zealand, respectively. KH, that's me. I'm a singer-guitarist with a focus on Americana.
MK, that's me. I am a folk singer-pianist and licensed Simply Music piano teacher.
In this podcast, we will be talking about alternative music from all decades.
We won't be covering 21st century pop music because we're too cynical and jaded. This is Maya Kelland, MK, and I'm sitting here in my room in Auckland, New Zealand.
This is KH, and I am sitting here in my room in Australia.
In Tasmania. What's your city?
Yes, in Devonport, Tasmania. And, yeah, we're bringing to you another episode of KH and MK Talk.
So today we are talking about introspection because we think it's a cool topic. And the first number is a Judy Collins number, and it is from her latest record released earlier this year, 2022, and it's called Spellbound.
And that was, as Mara has said in the intro, by Judy Collins from her latest record released this year. And I have to say that I was more impressed with that song than I actually had initially anticipated, because I have to admit that, you know, when you wanted to do a Judy Collins song, I was like, oh, Judy Collins, okay.
Yeah, because you're not a Judy Collins fan, but I am.
Well, no, I mean... Well, yeah, I mean, you know, we're allowed that. Well, it's not that I'm not a fan. It's that I'm not a fanatic fan. I mean, yeah. I'm not a fan. But I mean, I like her and I respect her for her talent. But I respect her from a distance.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like Pink Floyd. I mean, I get how they were musically relevant. To rock music. I mean, rock music in the 70s wouldn't be the same without them. Do I like them, however? No, I don't. But I respect, you know, I respect their influence.
Yeah.
On the period. And that's, I mean, that's how I feel, you know, about Judy Collins. Like, I respect her as a, you know, as a musician, you know.
Yeah. And when you bring the symphony to pop music... Just after the Beatles, you have to be respected as a musician.
Yeah, you do. And
we did it first.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing, you know. I mean, you know, she should be well respected. So yeah, I mean, I respect her, but I don't
love her. Yeah,
I don't. Yeah,
whereas I love her. So the song is about Judy Collins' adventures in Hawaii before she got sober. So, like, in 1966, she went to Hawaii with a couple of people and hung out and swam and drank and all that. And now I live and I am spellbound. There's something really new agey about the whole thing.
Yeah, there is, yeah. I mean, you know, it's... It's like in so far as, you know, song construction and all of that kind of stuff goes, it's just a simple form, you know, A, B,
yeah,
A,
it's
A.
It's a very simple form.
But I mean, it's not, I mean, you know, it's not a masterpiece, but lyrically speaking, it is actually rather beautiful. I mean, like not knowing the context, you could tell that.
It could be anywhere, pretty much.
No, because it does mention...
Oh, it does mention Hawaii. Yeah.
It does mention Honolulu. But you can tell, like, even, like, not knowing, you can tell that she was there at a time past is what I'm driving at.
Yeah.
You know, she's looking back. She's being...
introspective.
Yeah, she's being contemplative, and that's why we've called it introspective songs, because even my two, like, even though they're rock songs, and they're quite... You know, they are different songs by their nature, but they are... They are introspective in their own way, as well, and we will get to that later.
Oh, don't you love that guitar solo? That's Tad DeBrock on the electric guitar. It's so mystical and like,
yeah,
sounds like a fiddle almost. Not, yes. But you know, it's electric guitar. But yeah, it's
I have to say I would have to let you know listen to that again on my own and actually. Hear that. Actually, no, that was the lap steel.
Yeah, that's right. That's what it is.
Yeah.
It's a lap steel.
Well, beautiful, pedal steel. Sorry, not lap steel. Beautiful slide work, though, that he had there. I did admire that, being as I love that, you know, crying sort of sound.
Yeah,
and I think it does it well, yeah.
And the interesting thing about it is it starts, like, really new agey, you know, that first chord. I don't think you can hear this unless you look it up on Spotify, but anyway, that first chord, it's like, whoa, man. Anyway, I was going to say something else interesting, but I forgot.
I mean, like, even her piano playing in it has this, you know, introspective. And the key, too, you know, it's in G-flat. I mean, F-sharp. So we've got, you know, you've got, like, six flats.
Six flats.
So, you know, so it's very...
It's very new agey key because of the black pentatonic, right? But at the same time, it's a really boring chord progression, right? It's the 1-4-1-6-4-5 outset. But that's what's so cool about this song is that it gets more complicated. And that's what makes it interesting.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you know, here's the thing, right? Most great songs are, well, the ones that stick around anyway, are theory-wise incredibly simple.
Yeah.
But it's what people do with the melody over the top of it. I mean, you know, the kind of things that I miss in pop music are when songs don't have those diminished or sus chords in them, which not a lot of them do. And heads up for episodes in a month, people, we are going to be looking at some Brandi Carlile records. But even, like, Brandi Carlile uses, you know, a lot of sus chords and diminished chords, you know, to go from and go to, you know, the next part of the tune. I mean, it's not, you know, it's very, you know, old school songwriting. You know, the kind of stuff where it's like, okay, like, these people know what they're doing.
And I think
that that's one of the problems with most modern pop songs is that they're two chord, like, they're two chord jobs.
Yeah.
I mean, and, you know, and it's the same melody right through. It's just, you know, well, there's one lyric change. I mean, I'm slightly generalizing, but in most of the top 40, top 10, it's a two chord, you know, two noted melody because, well, let's face it. I mean, you know, you can't do a great deal with two chords. You know, and people out there are going, oh, this is fantastic. And meanwhile, you know, the musicians among us around the universe, those that pay attention, you know, we're all sitting there going, hey, what the fuck's this?
Yeah.
I mean, like,
that's why we don't talk about podcasts on pop music on this podcast.
Like WTF, man. And then of course, you know, they keep reverting back to the '80s. You know,
all those synthesizers that they can make it in their bedroom with, like, it's boring musically.
It's not interesting
at all.
It's not. Was Joey Rafferty's Baker Street, and playing the sax solo there and doing the mighty fine job at keeping his instrument in tune at the same time was British-Scottish sax player Raphael Ravenscroft, who has worked with many other musicians, but I dare say that sax riff is his most famous thing that he's known for.
You know what's really interesting about this song is that sax thing is like driving the whole song, and it comes back and back. It's like a Broadway show. That sax thing is like a Broadway show in 3 minutes. Pops up. No, it's like 5 minutes. Anyway, it's like a Broadway show, right? You know, you have the same tune in the Broadway show, and it's that one hit song, and it comes back all night at you, and then you have to wait all night to hear the whole thing.
It is funny. I mean, I've never thought about it like that. But yes, the sax solo does.
But they change it slightly every time, so there's always a little surprise in it. That's what they do in Broadway shows.
Yes, yeah, there is, yeah. The surprises mostly happen
near the end of it. The song.
Well, no, they happen near the end of each of the several bars of sax solos, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's usually, you know, there's usually a little motif, so. However it goes. But
yeah,
anyway.
That's how it goes.
Yes, and, you will notice, well, for those that pay particularly hard attention to these things, you will notice that the ends of Raphael Ravenscroft's notes in particular, as well as go out of tune slightly. And that is because during the session, thanks, Owen Dobson, for this information. And yes, I'm mentioning his name in a podcast, but thank you so very much for doing the a little bit of background research. Credits there.
Yeah.
Anyway, well, the result of the reason that this solo sounds the way that it does, which in my opinion makes it sound more ethereal and gives it that lost, strident, wandering sort of thing, is because when he was going to go and record it, they didn't tell him, like, you know, they basically sort of said, hey, can you come and do your solo now, kind of thing. Yeah, and so, you know, his sax was in the car and not ready, so you have to, like, you know, warm these instruments up right before you play, but you've got to get them, you know, you've got to get the air flowing through them so they're heated, essentially, well, slightly heated. Well, anyway, he hadn't. He'd left his in the car because he didn't think that he would need it straight away, so he had to rush out and get it and, you know, sort of basically set up and record. So, anyway, so that's why it sounds the way that it does. As a very fine musician that he is, he can't stand hearing the solo now because for that reason.
Because it sounds so bad.
Yes. But, however, it adds... Well, actually, no, it doesn't... Well, it sounds bad to his ears because he knows what he did.
Yeah, he knows,
right?
What he did, so it sounds bad to him. But everyone else loves it. And there's something eerily majestic about it.
Yeah. And it's... You know, and there's something wandering, too, which is helped by the fact that the notes... drift very subtly out of tune. Now, for those of us, I mean, you know, I've been, you know, I've known that something about that solo has always driven me as a kid, but it wasn't until my friend Owen told me that, that it was slightly out of tune, that I went, oh, that's why it sounds the way it does. I mean, it's always been there for me.
Yeah, yeah.
But I didn't know the reason behind it. And now that I know the reason behind it, it's actually like deepened my love for that, because it's like, my God, you know, wow, like,
yeah. You
know, and it's not, I mean, it's not the fact that something out of tune sounds great. It's the fact that it sounds the way that it does is what makes it sound great.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason behind it sounding the way it does is because he had to blow so hard to keep it in tune. And it went subtly out of tune. But it tapers out of tune. It doesn't go out of tune. It just tapers at the end of the note, which gives it that song's character. Now, it's interesting in the lyrics because the first verse and the first chorus are speaking about the character in the present tense.
Yes.
So he says, winding your way down in Baker Street. So he's talking about this character in the present tense. And then it goes on, you know, just one more year and then you will be happy. So he's saying, so there he's going into the third person. But he's talking, well, actually, the whole thing's in the first, so it's winding your way down the next bit. So it's in third person, right? But it's in the present. So he's directing your attention to you. So whoever this you, your is, they are wandering, he is wandering down in Baker Street.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second verse mentions this friend who comes to his house to visit. So it, not by name, but it mentions the fact that, you know, you went to this character's door and that, you know, he's telling you, oh, yeah, I'm going to, you know, give up the booze and the wandering life. And then he goes on. And then it says, but you know that he'll just keep moving. So you're so the you switches from the wandering character to the friend. And the friend's, you know, sitting there listening. So, you know, you talk about nothing, talk about everything. So the friend is sitting listening and he's kind of going, oh, yeah. You know, as if to say, yeah, you're talking crap, but okay, you know, I'll believe you for the sake of, you know. And so then the chorus is, but you know that he'll just keep moving because he's rolling, he's the rolling stone. So essentially, you know, it's about this character who is a lost soul in this city, and he's wandering, be it physically or metaphorically, and it doesn't actually say. So you could take it anyway, which is what
makes this lyrically great, actually.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, you could take it any way you like. I tend to think of it as a bit of both because of the way that the lyrics lay it out. It's both. So if you're winding your way down Baker Street, you're either walking or driving.
Yes.
And if you're in the second, well, if you're in the chorus even, you've stopped. And then the friend... The friend who knocks on the door is sort of, you know, narrating the story once again from the scene, you know, above, sort of thing, if you like.
Yeah.
And then it goes into the metaphorical. He's rolling. He's the Rolling Stone. And then you know you get the lead guitar player whose name I can't remember. I could go into my messages and find out, but I
forgot.
Won't.
Anywho.
I mean, it's a great solo, and I should remember his name because he's fantastic in his session music as well. But anyway, people can look it up. You know, Google it yourself, folks, if you really want to know.
Google is a doctor. It'll know everything.
Yeah. Kind of scary, that thought. Anyway.
Yeah.
So that's basically what the song's lyrics are, and the way that it shifts key from D minor to A major, you know, and then to A minor, and then back to D minor again, is it really shows the wanderings. And the way that the sax and guitar solos too, you know, Raphael Ravenscroft, it keeps coming back, whereas the guitar only features, like, you know, near the end kind of thing. But nonetheless, you know, they round out very well, because the guitar kind of, you know, the guitar is confirming almost the Rolling Stone bits.
That's just very clever, Kirby.
Well,
that's very intellectual of you, but it is. I get you. I get why you're saying.
Yeah, and I'm saying that because it doesn't. It, you know, the guitar rolls along. It do 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 do, and he's using a lot of hammer-ons and pull-offs to get that. Yeah, oh my God! I actually know guitar technique. That's kind of good. Thanks, Crystal. Yes, my guitar teacher, Crystal.
Was 70s prog rock band Boston, More Than a Feeling. Oh my God, I haven't heard it in a long time. That's an awesome song.
Yes, it's epic. For those people that want to do this, there's a Rick Beato. He does a video on what makes this song great, and More Than a Feeling is actually one of the songs he does. Can't remember exactly what number episode it is, but if you type into YouTube Rick Beato, what makes this song great, Boston, you should find it, or something along those. But anyway, something along those lines, you should find it. He actually has somehow got a hold of the digital door from the analog tapes, so he can he goes in and he isolates bits, and you can actually hear bits separately, and it's a really interesting video. That's what actually got me, you know, because I mean I'd heard this song as a kid because my brother used to like it, and he still does, and you know, but hearing him, you know, actually take this thing apart, which I knew was epic when I was a kid, but hearing someone actually take it apart and go, yep, here's what happens here, here's what happens in this bit, and here's what happens, because it just really made me sit up and go, oh, yeah, that's what makes this song great. So, yeah, I mean, check that out. It's cool. But
maybe we don't need to say anything more about that.
Well, not the Rick Beato video anyway. But, yes, I mean, but getting back to introspection, yeah, it is an introspective tune because, you know, the character has, you know, he's obviously, you know, putting his music on and he's drifting, you know, back into a...
somewhere.
I mean, we don't know where, but he's going somewhere, and he's obviously thinking, you know, back to a past girlfriend, because, you know, I see my Marion walking away, so he's, you know, the character is, you know, is, you know, back in this nostalgic sort of thing, and it kind of keys into the introspection. It's different to Baker Street in so much as that it's not dealing with the introspection of a troubled mind. It's dealing with the introspection of being, you know, kind of happy, because the guy's happy there.
In a good way, in a happy way. And well, that's, yes. And you know what's kind of cool about this song is it's, again, it was really simple. And then it gets bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yes, and that is part of its mastery. I mean, you've got, unfortunately, the people that listen to this for free won't be able to hear that, so you'll have to
go find a coffee.
But it fades in, so you barely notice that it started until it gets like two bars in or something. And it has the, you know, it's got this beautiful fade in, which is very uncommon, you know, for songs of any era, because mostly that they fade out the outro, but this has a fade in intro, which is one of its key features, I think.
And the vocals. We got to talk about the vocals.
Oh, God, the vocals.
I didn't think a guy could sing that high.
Well, a guy can sing that high, yeah. And so pure as well. I mean, I mean,
you like it a lot, yeah.
Well,
and then
really,
there's all those harmonies and the overlays. It just sounds awesome.
Yeah, like, I mean, there's not really a lot that I can really say about the vocals, because it's just, I mean, you know, I'm a, you know, being a singer myself, you know, I mean, there are so many voices that's just, oh, wow, but that guy, oh, I'm so sorry, I can't remember his name, but, you know.
We could ask Siri.
No, let's not ask Siri, only because she'll send it to one of us as iPhone.
Oh, that's right. I'm forgetting that.
But anyway, you know. Well,
anyway, it's an awesome song, and let's listen to that other song, that not so awesome song, to finish it up. That was Boston, More Than a Feeling, and it's a very old introspective song, but it's cool. Anyway, now we're going to talk...
Yeah, the lead guitar duo is brilliant in that, eh?
But now we're going to talk about All That Is by Garnet Rogers, and I think you're only getting the introductory and one line on the track, because it's a 30-second exposure if you're not on Spotify, which is kind of stupid, but anyway... This song
is
kind of a, what is the song even about? It's got two themes. Well, one theme, really. This song is about psychology. This song resonates with me because it's about psychology. It's about the reason we have psychology, which is essentially to learn to love people.
I also think that what's running through it is empathy.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Empathy and love for people.
Because because he's essentially saying, you know,
love is all that is.
Yeah, love is all that is. Mm. And it, you know, it basically, what is love? Well, love is all that is, you know. I mean, it's this, and I think what he's trying to get at, you know, is that it's this intangible thing that we all have.
Yeah.
But I think he's also talking about, you know, intimate love between two people. I mean, he doesn't explicitly say it.
Yeah. I know.
But when you get to the lyrics where he says, you can lose your heart but don't think it's lost, I think that's where he's differentiating between, you know, love for your brother, your fellow man, and love for your, you know, significant other.
And others and stuff,
The
other interesting thing about this one is it's in D, which is
a
funny key for New Age music. And it's got a New Agey feel to it. It's got that New Agey vibe. And I kind of...
Well, Boston starts in D.
Boston starts in D too. Oh, okay. doesn't it? Anyway, I forgot. Anyway, the derager thing, because a lot of New Age music is in E-flat, and I just don't like this New Agey music that much, but I'm glad...
Interesting, isn't it? How, because until you pointed that out, I want to know.
Yeah, a lot of
New Age... I mean, because, well, see, here's the thing, right? My Tedeschi Trucks recently released four albums, which I'm aiming to get to, folks. Watch out.
Yeah, we will talk about them too.
Watch out. But anyway, I'm getting... Well, they just released four records, which are New Agey, but dealing with the ancient Middle Eastern Arabic story of Layla and... anyway, Layla and her... Well, anyway, I was dealing with... Anyway. And it's kind of New Agey, but it doesn't... But it's jazzy, new agey, kind of Coltrane, Beatles-esque country. I mean, TTB just have everything thrown into their sound generally, folks, which I won't expound upon here. But anyway, it's full of all that lovely contemporary music, jazz stuff that I love, you know, that mixture of, you know, jazz, funk, rock. That is essentially what is Americana. But anyway, yes, and so and that is... It's new agey in its music and in its presentation, because they the magic thing about it was that they brought their fans together. You know, when they released the film on YouTube and then the audio, and then you know, so they released them all in. They released these albums in increments, so you got one within a month, and then you got the other parts within
by degrees. And there's something cool about that, but we're supposed to be talking about Garnet Rogers. but besides,
sorry,
expanded on TTV, but that's fine. I don't mind.
Well, I was.
Where were you going?
I was saying that to get back to Garnet Rogers, because you were mentioning the new agey thing being in D.
Well, but there's a meditative quality to it, right? You can put those really cruddy synthetic strings behind it, and it would be kind of cool to meditate to, is what I'm driving at. So you were going to say...
But, I mean, but I suppose what I was trying to say, too, is that you could meditate to these TTV records. It's just that it would be...
different.
It would be different, and I guess, you know, that was kind of what I was trying to get at, was that stuff isn't necessarily in the key of E flat only. You can do AG and have every track in a different key. But anyway, so that was what I was driving at with the expounding on TTV. And no, I'm not going to mention all the keys of the songs, because...
That would be boring, yeah. But a lot of the synthetic new agey music that people meditate to is in E flat. Let's just leave it there. And
I hate it.
Yeah, I hate it too.
Not the key in E flat. I hate the
new age music. Yeah, the meditation music. I don't like it either. I like can't meditate to it at all.
No, me either. It actually makes me angry.
Yeah, it makes me depressed.
It has this anger effect on me. It's kind of, like this depressing anger. It's like, oh my God, I'm angry in the world and I'm supposed to be, you know. I'm supposed to be peaceful, but anyway.
Yeah.
Never more to be alone.
What was that song? All Letters. That was Garnet Rogers from Canada. Garnet Rogers is brother of Stan Rogers, who we will be talking about next podcast. And we're going to go and listen to his music now. Catch you all then.